Welcome to the Edinburgh Side Review, episode 33. My name is Neil Caldwell. I have with me James Cocker, a.k.a. IT.
Good evening. Long time no see.
Yeah, it has been a long time, listeners. We now do these annually, it seems.
Well, yeah. I don't know when the next one's going to be, to be honest.
Well, we won't promise them anymore. We'll just go straight into your fridge. What have you got this week?
This week slash year, we have a nice selection from across the countries. We have got a Turner's medium cider from Kent. We have got Dragon Tears, which is from Clyde St. George. Is that the name of the producer? No, that's the village. Yeah, cool. And we also have a Old Harry Rocks from Dorset Nectar in Bridport. And then we have a special cider here called Templar's Choice that it is a Perry, and it's from Normandy. Wow, look at the chunks at the bottom of there. It's like pears at the bottom of that.
So three English counties and a province of France we have to try. So we're going to go dry to sweet. That's the order we're meant to do things in.
Correct.
So
it's been so long.
The Kentish Turners is medium. It advertises itself as. The one from Dorset just says vintage organic. Not much to go with that.
The Dragon Tears, who knows? Let's.
And the Perry is a Norman Perry, so we'll guess that it is going to be sweet.
Although yeah.
We've been wrong about that in the past. I remember vividly. We'll go medium first.
Yeah.
So this is Turner's from Marden, Kent.
No fizz there.
No fizz. And we were expecting fizz. Mild sediment at the bottom of the bottle. Nothing to be...
This looks good. I'm looking forward to this.
...overly worried about. Nice branding on the bottle.
Nice colour, relatively clear. Smells fresh.
Looks fresh. It's a wee bit like the old Hex bottle. Not Hex bottle. The old Henny's bottle.
Oh, right. Well, as in it's clear.
No, but it's clear, simple marketing, isn't
it? True. But this is still... Right, what's this like?
Best before 10th, 17.
I was hoping you wouldn't see that. Oh, wow. This is just like...
Nice.
This is tasty. It's just, it's like apple juice.
It's just pure apple juice.
It's just like drinking apple juice.
Very nice.
What percentage is it?
6%.
Wow. That's impressive.
I know.
Hmm.
That is... contains sulfites. Is the only thing about it, other than the best before day.
They have to say that.
I'm disputing that this is cider.
Wow, drinkable.
Well, of course.
Very drinkable. Mm. It's perfect for a day like this. 23 degrees up in Edinburgh.
You know what? It reminds me of when you get a still Thistle Cross, except it's not got the overly sweet thing to it. It's medium. It's medium apple juice.
Something it reminds me of, but I think it's just apple juice.
Yeah, we're not 100% sure this is cider, listeners, despite the advertising. It's very nice, though, isn't it? Although, I sort of feel, because it just tastes purely like apple juice, you wouldn't want to necessarily have more than one bottle of it, because if you get apple juice out of a carton in the morning, you want maybe a couple of glasses at most, don't you? A couple of those wee glasses. I mean, I know when you're staying in a bed and breakfast and you get a shitty wee glass of apple juice, you think, this is not nearly enough, so you need another one.
Yeah.
But two is plenty.
Yeah.
This tastes like that kind of stuff.
It's not far off at all. Which, I don't know, is it a good thing? Is that a good thing or a bad thing, considering 6%? Is that...
Well, there's two theories to that. One, the cocktail theory. You know, the point is, cocktails are not meant... You're not meant to taste the alcohol.
Okay, yeah.
And they go to great lengths to give you as much alcohol as possible without you tasting it.
Mm.
Or there's the cider theory, let's call it. It should taste of cider and not apple juice. But you should be able to taste the apples.
Yeah, we can definitely taste the apples here. Yeah, maybe we should note that it is 18 months out of date, so that might have a slight... It shouldn't. I don't think it...
Yeah, but alcohol doesn't go off. Alcohol
no, exactly, doesn't. Exactly. It shouldn't... it's not going to lose the... It's not going to lose its volume, its percentage.
At the very, very end, it's got a slight tart thing to it.
Yeah.
But it's very slight and very, right at the end, isn't it?
I like that. Oh, yeah, I've just remembered we have to rate these, don't we?
Yeah, we do. I'm going to... Do you know, it reminds me a little bit of the JK's Scrumpy as well, actually.
Mm.
God, but again, not as sweet.
I haven't had that in a long time.
Not as sweet. I'm going to give it an 8.
Oh, wow. I'm going 7.
Seven's too low.
No.
All right, 7.5 on balance is not that bad.
7.5 for the Turner's. Turner's medium cider from Marden in Kent. And if I could remember where I bought this, it would be very useful. I've scribbled CN on the bottom of the bottle. Who knows what that stands for? If I remember, I'll tweet about it.
Okay, I think we'll go next to Old Harry's Rocks, which is a vintage organic cider from Bridgeport in Dorset. Where did you get this bottle?
My aunt got me this, actually.
Oh, right.
I think my aunt visited the Westons place.
So she got this from Westons?
I'm not sure if she brought me this from Westons, but it arrived with a bunch of Westons stuff that she sent me as well. So, yeah, it definitely sounds interesting.
Very cloudy. Lots and of visible sediment.
It's Dorset Nectar. Is that the name of the producer?
Dorset Nectar is the producer. Old Harry Rocks is the cider.
Yes.
So
it's a bit cloudy with sediment.
Yeah, lots of sediment. Probably more sediment than...
Looks still.
Is that enough?
Yeah, that's enough for now. We'll see how it goes. Looks still. Looks like it could be tasty, but who knows? Ooh, it has got a slight sparkle. Mmm.
Interesting.
I like that.
That's got all sorts of things going on.
It has indeed.
It's dry at the end.
Definitely tanniny. It's definitely dry.
I feel like it's the sediment making it dry.
Okay.
I'm sort of got an image in my head of the sediment being all that's left at the end after all the liquid has been dispensed with.
11 varieties of apple go into this.
It's kind of vibrant at the start and then dry at the end, isn't it?
Old Harry Rocks, 6%. Wow. It's very different to the Turner's.
Yeah. I think I like it.
But I like it just as much.
I think I like it. No sulfates, this one. They're all going on about sulfates these days.
Yeah, I think they have to. It's just, and I don't think that really has much of a difference.
Well, sulfates is the major cause of your hangover, isn't it? It's worthwhile knowing.
Is it?
Yeah. Well, in my experience, anyway. The one thing, we were having this debate before the start of the show about if you have a lot of sediment in a bottle, should you not shake the bottle, but...
Upend it.
So the sediment goes throughout the liquid and you're not left with a very diluted cider and a whole pile of sediment at the end of your bottle. I say yay, you say nay.
Well, see, I say yay if it's clearly sediment that's going to kind of evenly disperse itself throughout the liquid. But I say nay if it looks like it's going to be chunks of stuff and you're going to end up with just bits.
Like, as you're drinking.
I'm not a fan of the orange juice with bits in it.
Well, neither am I.
And so if it looks like it's sediment that's not going to just completely disperse itself.
But there's a difference between sediment and bits. Without getting too technical.
No, I know, but some sediment stays chunky.
Okay.
So some sediment kind of clumps together in clumps, and that's what I'm not a fan of.
Well, it's visible, but it's not...
But no, once you've poured this out, we just got it a bit cloudier, so...
You're not choking on the sediment, put it that way. Mm.
So I like this. I am probably... I'm tempted to... I do like this more than the Turner's, actually. There's more going on.
There's all sorts of things going on there.
It's not just apple juice. There's more going on.
Is this
on.
One out of date?
No, this is probably one of the more recent ones that I found.
Best before May 2017.
What? maybe my aunt had it sitting around her house for a while. Does it really say that on it?
Yeah, it does.
All right, oh well. Well, I don't think it changes much. I
can see that if this is this good now, I can see it being probably better beforehand. Whereas the other one, we weren't so sure. That might have improved as a sort of happy accident.
I do like this a bit more, so I'm going 7.5.
I'll go 7.5 as well.
Okay.
The reason I say that, the last mouthful I had there, I drank it a bit quicker.
Mm.
Felt a bit watery to me all of a sudden.
Mm. Interesting.
Don't know why that is.
Probably once you, because we've moved on from that one was quite sweet, that kind of first one. But the Old Harry Rocks is a bit drier, so
yeah, I know,
as your mouth is getting a bit used to it.
Yeah, then you're not tasting as much, and if dry is all it's got, then... So I say 7, you say 7.5, which is 7.25.
7.25.
Still a reasonable mark. Yeah. A reasonable mark.
Yeah, I'd have it again.
So are we going to Devon or are we going
Let's go to Devon.
Okay, so we're going to try Dragon Tears, a dry Devon cider.
I like the name.
From Clyst St. George.
And this originated in from the Bristol Cider Shop. This is I like the kind of dark, it's like got a deeper orange colour to it.
Yeah.
Clearly
fizzier
than the last ones.
It's got a big, nice picture of a dragon on the top of it.
Oh, smells good. But hold on, is that only 4.7%? Interesting. Yeah,
which is similar to the other Devon ciders we've had.
True, but from the bottle, from the style of it, it looks like it should be more of a fuller strength cider than it looks
like a good bottle of cider. Mm. Good bottles of cider tend to be stronger, but not always.
It smells good.
You're using a couple of assumptions.
Oh, completely different again.
That's good.
I like that. It's got that. Mm. It's got the fizz initially,
a
but then
bit
it's
too
got
tarty at the end.
A little bit. I like the
a shade too tarty.
There's more depth. There's more strength to the flavour kind of kicking in towards the end compared to the last two.
I love the start, but it's just a wee bit too tarty at the end.
And in the middle. I like the middle.
Well, the start and the middle is great. And it just... It's nothing like the Cairn Amore. There was one of the Cairn Amores we had.
Yeah.
Which was like...
Tart.
Which was like sucking a lemon at the end. It's not nowhere near as bad as that. But it's still just that little bit too tarty, I think.
I like this one a lot.
Because at the start, I thought it just reminded me of the Devon Red.
Mm.
It's not quite as sweet as that.
Do you know when I smelt it? When it did have the kind of Devon Red aroma. That's the Sanford Orchard's Devon Red. Yeah, this Dragon Tears, I like this. But it's only 4.7. I think, to me...
Well, what does that matter?
That's a shame. It means that it's potentially been...
Cider doesn't need to be strong to be good.
Well, yeah, but... The fact that it's 4.7% is making me wonder whether it's been watered down, because your natural strength is closer to 6.
But what does it matter if you're judging it on the taste?
Yeah, but in some ways it's easier to get, like we were just saying about the alcohol. It's the challenge in some regards is getting that tasty cider, keeping this percentage, like we were just saying about cocktails.
I like the middle. I see what you mean by the middle now.
Mm. You just down that.
No, I know. Well, I like drinking them at different paces. sip, down,
okay.
Drink.
Okay.
I am going to give it a 7.5.
So am I.
Okay, 7.5 it is.
They're also different. I like them all, but they're also different. Very, very good. Good batch so far.
Right. Big champagne bottle time.
Oh, dear. Maybe I should open this one.
Why?
Well, we know your history with...
A long time ago,
bottles. I forgot to cover the sofa in there.
Those days are past now. That was in a different flat, in a different era.
Yeah, but the same sofa.
In the era of regular shows.
That poor carpet.
Do you know, to be honest, I think next time we have a bottle like this, we should pre-prep the bottle.
Yeah, it's a proper champagne-style bottle. So this one, this is a Templar's Choice, and it is it's a perry from Normandy. I actually picked it up in Edinburgh, where they were at... they're on Castle Street, I think, for a day last year. And they tweeted us to let us know that they were filling their cider.
When was that?
It was last September, I believe. So basically, they're a married couple that have this farm in Normandy, and that they produce quite a range of ciders and...
Calvados.
Calvados, yes. So they produce a range of ciders and a range of Calvados, I think, as well.
Were they French?
I was chatting to Adam. No, well, actually, they're originally from... Adam's originally from the UK. I believe he used to make cider with his father in Gloucestershire before they moved out to Normandy. And decided to start making cider. And this is Kieved. All their cider that they make is Kieved.
What does Kieved mean?
So remember the Pilton cider that we had a while back? It basically means it's naturally sweet. Oh, hold on, I haven't finished the last one yet. Kieved cider means that the sweetness in it is all natural. And basically, it's to do with the formation of a pectin gel that stops the yeast fermentation early, so it leaves natural sugars from the apples in the cider. So there's no water added. There's no sugar added.
But so is there a commonality between kieving and bottle conditioning? So bottle conditioning, as my understanding was, when it got naturally sparkling in the bottle because of the way that it was put into the bottle.
Mm. Potentially, because you basically, it's still fermenting, isn't it? You still have a little bit of activity in the yeast, and that's what produces the carbon dioxide, which is what carbon, I think, I'm right.
That's anyway, good stuff, though.
What is this like?
That is good stuff.
Oh.
Do you know, just before you drink it, and it's a combination of the sense of smell and the sort of, you're inhaling the gas that's coming off of it, you're getting a little bit worried you're going to have something you're not going to like.
Yeah.
But it's quickly taken away.
It's a tasty perry, that.
It is nice, that.
It's again, it's a perfect drink for this climate that we have at the moment.
Yeah, we've got a sunny day. We even had a barbecue. Just the two of us. And I wish we'd had that earlier. Whereas we deliberately, because if we have a barbecue pre-show, you can't have any cider that you are going to have in the show.
No, because all these one-off ciders I save for the show. We never have any of the ciders we have on the show, we never try beforehand.
So this Templar's Choice Perry, we couldn't have before the show, but you've also got a Templar's Choice cider, dry cider.
I've got a dry and a medium from them.
So if we'd thought about this, we could have had one before the show and one...
We could have, yes. Oh, well, next time. I'll save one for next time. It's good stuff, though. But yeah, it's a very nice perry, so...
Yeah, I would give that quite high marks.
I mean, again, it's a perry, so we shouldn't really be comparing it to the cider, but...
Why not? It's almost exactly the same way it's prepared, isn't it? Or you can... In fact, there's a good question. Can you, if you want to do the same style of cider to perry, can you do exactly the same process? Or is there something because of the nature of the fruit that you have to do differently? I don't know the answer to that. Do you?
I don't. I've been meaning to try making my own cider at some point, but with a child on the way, I don't see that happening anytime soon.
I don't know if you should reveal that to the listeners.
Well, I need to give them some reason why we're probably not going to have another podcast for...
5 years.
For 7 years. This could well be our last one, listeners. So
No, we'll just pick up. In 5 years' time, we'll just pick up.
We'll just suddenly appear
again. Just pretend. Welcome to episode 34, as if nothing has changed.
As if nothing happened. But, so, this, Templar's Choice, Perry.
It's quite a lot of sediment.
I like this a lot. I'm going 8.
I'm tempted to go 8, although... Your thing of sediment, surely if you look at the bottom of your glass, are you not put off?
Well,
on the basis of...
If you looked at the bottom of the bottle, there's a lot of chunks. They're chunks that aren't going to dissolve, are they?
Yeah.
There's a possibility that they're there because it's been sitting on top of my fridge since September. But no, I like this a lot. It's probably a little bit safer for me than the other three, which are completely different. And obviously, ciders versus a perry. But it's definitely... It's right up my street, this. So I am going 8.
I'll agree with you on 8.
Wow. Well, a good batch there.
I know.
And a decent consensus.
So the worst mark was 7.25 and the best mark was 8. Do you know, it reminds me of the time when we're doing these shows a bit more regularly than we are now, that we had about 4 or 5 shows in a row where everything was 7.5-ish.
Yeah.
Because we're generally getting good ciders. But there was a row where we were getting nothing like especially amazing and nothing bad.
Mm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with a 7 out of 10. 7 out of 10 is good.
It is in our books, yeah. I can't remember what the highest we've ever marked something as.
I think someone got a 9 once. Maybe the JK's
Scrum. Yeah, that's the one that came to mind. But again, I think if we were to write that these days, I don't think we'd give it a 9.
No, I don't think we would.
That's the floor in our
probably wouldn't table. Want something that sweet.
Mm. Anyway, we could have trying it. But,
all right,
moving on.
So that concludes your fridge for this show.
Usually
at this juncture we'd do cider news, but you've told me we're not to go straight to cider news. We're doing something else.
Doing something else. We're bringing back a feature that we've done a few times. And tonight we have another mystery cider for you, Neil.
Excellent.
So here I have a bottle, which is completely masked up, that I would like you to open up, give a taste, and let me know what you think.
Okay, so the fact that you're letting me open the bottle tells me you're quite confident I'm not going to be able to have any clues about what this is before.
Oh, I used a black marker pen on the top of the bottle.
Well, I've still to finish.
I'll let you finish that. So you basically, just try it out. Have a drink. Let me know what you think it is. It might be cider. It might not be cider.
Do we need to explain this feature in more detail? Like,
No, I think it's quite obvious. It's a mystery cider. Neil has to work out what it is.
But you do know what it is.
I do know what it is, obviously. It'd be interesting to hear your thoughts. So,
and it's definitely a cider.
No, it's not. No, it's not necessarily a cider.
You said mystery cider, didn't you?
Well, I called it mystery cider, but it's mystery.
You've tricked me before with it.
Exactly. In the past, I think I gave you a Carling cider, which you quite liked. We've had that cola one. We did the cola one last time, remember?
Yeah, but was that as a Let's Branch Out, or was it a mystery Let's Branch Out?
Well, yes, I think that's what that was.
In fairness to you, you gave me a chance to say this is a mystery Let's Branch Out.
We merged them both.
But in another time, I'm sure you tried to deliberately bugger me up.
So, try this. What do you think?
It's quite nice.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Let me cleanse my palate. I quite like this.
Okay.
So,
what does it remind you of? What's it similar to?
It's clear.
Yeah.
It's still.
Ish. It's still ish. It's supposed.
By comparison to the last two ciders we've had, it's. I don't know. I think we've rattled through quite a lot of cider in a short space of time. And we're going straight to mystery cider. Used to we have a little bit, we chill out, we have a bit of news or something.
I know.
This is quite intense all of a sudden.
Okay. It's a lot. Just think of it as an extra drink to write.
No, I'm trying to do that.
But what do you think it is?
Usually there's a natural break in the show at this point.
What do you think it is? Do you think it's cider?
I'm not 100% sure it's cider. I've got no idea.
What's it similar to?
I can't even. Well, I'll tell the listeners, it's slightly sparkling, it's quite translucent, but it's got a colour to it.
It's got a kind of yellowy.
It's like a light cider. At first, I thought it was going to be like an upmarket Strongbow, but it's too good for that.
Okay.
And it's too nice for that.
Have you tried the Strongbow Cloudy, actually? What happened to that? That was around for a while, and then it kind of disappeared.
I think I might have tried it, but it was nothing special.
Okay. Okay, I'll put you out your misery, shall I?
Yeah.
Okay, you are drinking Sheppy's low alcoholic original cider.
All right.
So this is what they call the low alcohol classic cider, 0.5%.
Very good.
And picked up in Tesco. It was only launched last July, I believe.
So why don't they just make apple juice?
Low
alcohol cider.
Well, that's different, isn't it? I think the whole low alcohol thing is growing at the whole. Not drinking dried annuary and all that kind of stuff.
See, right.
So is that kind of market they're going for?
It says low alcohol, right? And it's 0.5%.
Yeah.
There's still 0.3 units in that. So, theoretically, if you were drinking this every night of a week, so the new Scottish Government guidelines are 14 units per week. So that means you can only have 14 times 3. 7 times 21 bottles of
21
these.
Bottles of that
a week, and it's low alcohol cider.
Yeah, well, it is what it says on the tin. It's low. It doesn't say no alcohol. It's low alcohol.
Can you see yourself having right? There's been weeks in the past, I'm sure, where you've had 21 bottles of cider in the space of a week.
Well, like my stag do,
or equivalent.
I wouldn't drink 21 bottles of this, to be honest. It's fine for an alternative. It's like for standard fizzy cider. It's a fine alternative. It actually, let me tell you this, it won gold in the low alcohol cider category of the International Cider Awards this year.
I actually like it. Now, when I was drinking it, I thought you were deliberately trying to mess me up again.
Yeah.
That's why I was sort of throwing a thought. Is he just giving me like a Strongbow really good thing? Is he trying to like trick me into saying I like something that's actually really shit? So, you've just taught me to be honest. I did like it. I thought there was something strange, but I couldn't place it. I told you that. So, I was trying to be honest. I didn't want to maybe be quite as honest about the fact that I really did like it. So, well done, Sheppies. It's nice. I'm still not sure I fully understand the point of a low alcohol cider.
I mean, the question is, like, how does this compare to Appetizer?
Yeah. In fact, I haven't had Appetizer in a long time. I think Appetizer still is about 10
years. I don't think I did, but I had been planning to give you an Appetizer as a mystery cider one day.
You should have done that. So, the thing is, right, so here's a good example. I've now had a lot to drink in a short space of time.
Yeah.
Which you've rattled through the agenda here.
Yeah.
Now, absentmindedly, I'm now at the stage of the show where I should just pick up whatever bottle comes to my fancy and absentmindedly pour some. And I've chosen this.
You've chosen the low alcohol Schweppes. Interesting. Yeah.
Now, what's that? What does that tell us? My subconscious wants me not to have any more alcohol?
Mm.
Or does my subconscious just choosing the drink?
But I mean, first? All the four that we've had so far are way, they're way tastier. There's way more going on. This is just a bland, generic kind of, it's fine, it's good, it's
sometimes
drinkable.
Sometimes blander's better.
Depends what you're doing. But
let's not say it's bland, it's just blander than the big, stronger, pungent
than the decent
stuff.
Ciders, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, that worked out well.
It was a success.
So if you're looking for a low alcohol cider, try the Schweppes.
Do you know what? It's actually put me back in the frame. I'm going to try Schweppes again.
Yeah. See, Schweppes...
That's the kind of cider that should be in more pubs, I think, Schweppes.
I was never... Just that initial hit of the kind of... Almost the kind of sharpness of Schweppes, I was never really a fan of. You don't get it so much in this low alcoholic version. But saying that, I have not had Schweppes for a while. But yeah. So when I discovered that this was gold in the International Cider Awards this year, I had a quick flick through the list.
Right.
Just see if there's any standout winners. They actually have a, as well as the, what they call the, I think they call it tannin cider. They've got a modern cider category.
Right.
And again, I think they got sweet, medium, dry awards in each one. So in the modern cider sweet category, gold was won by a cider by Caledonia Cider based in Dundee.
In the modern cider, a Caledonian cider based in Dundee.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that.
No. I think I have come across Caledonia, but I don't think I've had any of their ciders. But it was called Lost Orchard Number 1. In the same group, bronze was won by a cider called Strongbow Gold Apple.
Right.
Which I've never come across.
And this is the modern cider category.
This is the modern cider category.
So we're thinking
category.
Translucent fizzy.
Well, yeah, but this is the International Cider Awards. So they have their modern cider category, but they know what they're... quite a decent group of qualified tasters.
Yeah.
This isn't any old awards. I briefly looked up the Strongbow Gold Apple. It, as far as I can tell, it might not be something that's kind of available in the UK yet. But yeah, I just found it interesting that we have a Scottish cider there.
That we've never seen nor heard of nor tried.
Yeah, and then a Strongbow one that we've not come across. So we will have to seek out some Caledonian ciders, see what we find.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more news for us?
I do have some news. To be honest, I struggled to find stuff that had been happening in the last year in the cider world that was...
Nothing's happened in
well,
the last
no, there
year.
Has been, but whether it's been worth discussing, one thing did stand out. Sandford Orchards, that we've already mentioned tonight, they're the ones that we discovered in BrewDog originally.
Yes.
BrewDog used to stock their Devon Red ciders that we were a big fan of.
Yep.
Well, they have been working on a new cider-making technique.
I see.
Which basically involves adding leaves to the apple juice during fermentation.
Just your bog, what kind of leaf?
Leaves from the apple tree.
Oh, I see.
And so they're calling it on-leaf fermentation. And they basically, I think he came across it, like there was some reference to it, some cider maker reference as an idea in some book from the 1900s. And they thought, they knew that if like wine producers, sometimes they add like whole bunches of grapes to add to the flavor. So we thought if it works with wine, why doesn't it work with cider? So basically they tried, they took off all these leaves from one of their main apple trees and stuck it in their cider for the fermentation process. They did it all scientifically as well. They had a full control running as well, which didn't have the leaves in it. And they did blind tasting. And the result was basically a cider that ended up people calling it fresher, fruitier, with more zing, increased complexity. They only did a small batch last year. There's a Yarlington Mill variety.
Right.
But it doesn't sound like a gimmick. It does sound like they have... Not only have they kind of done the experiment properly, but they've also looked a lot into the science behind it, really.
Yeah.
Because they're actually working with the School of Biosciences at Exeter University, I believe, to well, I'm going to quote this sentence from the article that I read on the Stanford Torture's blog, but they're working with Exeter University on metabolic pathway profiling of the microbes present in the on-leaf fermentations, gene sequencing, and comparing the microbiome on the leaves to that in the flesh.
Sounds fascinating.
Is what they're doing. So
I'm assuming they're trying all variety of quantities to cider, quantity of leaves to cider ratio.
Yeah, I think, from what I remember, I think they were talking, with this, it was like 600 kilograms, I've got this here, 600 grams of leaves per 1,000 litres of fresh juice. So it's not so, well, 600 grams
that's
of leaves.
That's quite a lot.
A leaf doesn't weigh much, does it?
No. So 600 grams of leaves, that's a lot of leaves.
Yeah.
And if you think that, well, 600 grams is the equivalent of 0.6 of a litre.
Yeah. Yeah, true. About 1,000 litres of juice it was.
Oh, right, yeah.
So it was a lot of juice. But it, like, so they basically took all these leaves from a 10-year-old tree in an orchard. So they only, I mean, this was only a small batch, a kind of experiment they did last year with a Yarlington mill. They sent out 100 cases.
Sounds interesting.
But it'll be interesting to see, yeah, what comes of it. Because it definitely sounds like they're working to understand the why of what it does.
Well, see, I think this is a good point, because one of the reasons you think this has validity and where people like us would have sympathy for it is because they found it in an old book in a cider maker's shed, and it sounds like it's a tradition of some sort. But 600 years ago, or whenever this guy decided to put leaves in the cider, it's probably an accident.
Well, no, he didn't even... This was just someone suggesting that it might be something worth trying in the book.
Exactly.
It wasn't even him saying that it
is. So, why should we look down upon people putting fruit in cider now?
It's different.
It's not different.
It is different.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's new ideas, new approaches, people just trying things. And I don't think... I think that's maybe... There's a lesson with the cider leaves. Is that don't knock back something that is tried to be done for a good reason. If something's done with natural ingredients in a good way and it's done for a specific purpose for experimentation and it works, then just go with it.
I think we're talking about kind of more of a subtle change, though, in the flavour of the cider. Whereas if you add, like, fruits that
aren't
apples to
it. Some of the fruits have subtle changes.
No, they're still quite very fruity.
No, but there's blackberry ones that we've had in the past, or there's...
Yeah, exactly, which are clearly... They clearly taste of blackberry.
No, but there's... The point saying... So, cider that's been stored in certain casks, that sort of meets your definition of that's fine. If one's been had an added cherry flavour, not fine.
No.
If it's one has an added blackberry flavour, if it's a bit of a subtle hint to it, that's okay, but I'm still saying it's not fine.
Well,
that's the way you judge it, isn't it?
It depends what you mean by fine. Like, I'd never compare those kind of ciders to these ciders, to ciders that don't have fruit. You would never do that because they're different drinks. Whereas with this on leaf, it's just a different technique of making standard cider. And
but
so you would still compare it.
What, like, if it totally changed the flavour? You've not tried it. If it totally changed the flavour...
I don't think it doesn't. It's,
well, so they say.
They did a blind taste test, really. And they definitely say it's kind of fruitier and fresher. But it's not like they're changing it to a different taste other than apple, like you are by adding fruit. Like, for example, the International Cider Awards, they have a category for fruit cider.
Yeah.
Because you can't compare it to the rest of the ciders.
Yeah,
now, if you had this only fermentation...
I'm playing devil's advocate. I'm just maybe questioning things that we otherwise thought, because...
Okay.
Just because this was a technique that was found by a cider maker 600 years ago, does that make it more valid than adding blackberries today? That's my hypothetical question, which you've not fully answered.
I don't think it does. Anyone can think, let's add this fruit to a cider, and you're going to roughly
think... tree bark, right?
Tree bark, that's something a bit more unique. Because you're not going to initially imagine that that's going to dramatically change the flavour for the best.
So if I put grass clippings from, say I decide to cut your grass, right? You're making some cider, and I put the entire lot of grass clippings into your vat of cider.
Yeah.
You're not going to be happy, are you?
I'm not, no.
But if I claim to you that I read about it in some book that I found in a Thistley Cross shed when I was doing a visit, you'd be like, oh yeah, you'd buy it for a few minutes, wouldn't you? Do you see my point here? We shouldn't have a go at people that are making fruity type ciders or experimenting with this kind of stuff.
Experimenting is
good. We shouldn't
be
quick to judge.
Experiment is good. Fair enough.
There's the lesson.
Fair enough.
Is that all the cider news?
Let's move on. Yes.
All right. Are we branching out?
Yes.
So let's branch out.
We will branch out. But this time I have another mystery let's branch out.
All right. So I'm not allowed to pour any more cider in
the meantime. So don't pour any more cider in the meantime.
Cleanse my palate.
You can open up this mystery let's branch out. So we have a standard bottle here that I would like you to open.
Okay.
And I would like you to try. Now, I know in the past that this
you need to explain what
this feature, Let's Branch Out, which traditionally was drinks that cider drinkers might like, that wasn't beer, wine, spirits, or whatever. But that's never really been the case, has it? It's always been a bit vague.
No, but the premise of it is that it's a drink that's not beer, not cider, not wine, not spirit, which cider drinkers might like.
Yes, it's a premise. It's a loose definition, let's say. Anyway, pour this out. Try some of this and let me know what you think. Nope, it's trying to escape itself.
So I don't understand why it's a mystery let's branch out.
Because you don't know what it is.
Well, I know that I don't know what it is, but...
You don't know why...
Why does it need to be a mystery? Why are you combining features?
Yeah. Well, I just thought for a bit more interest. So, what have we got here?
In the last show you gave... This is where you introduced... You did a mystery let's branch out.
I did, yes.
Cola cube flavoured cider, yep. Didn't you? And you didn't have cola cubes, which caused me much consternation.
I have had cola cubes.
This is one of the fizziest things that's ever been created by man, by the looks of things.
Well, it's got a head.
So I poured this 40 seconds ago, and it's still more head than cider. And I didn't pour this at any like arbitrary angle or anything like that. That's beer, that's why. That's beer, isn't it?
It's
apple flavored beer.
It is beer. It's not apple flavored beer.
Or it's beer with a bit of cider in it. Or something.
What do you think of it as a beer?
What do you mean? Why do I think of it as a beer?
What do you think of it as a beer? As far as beers go.
Well, I didn't really judge it. That's why I poured it at 50% because I didn't think it was beer. What point is it's not meant to be beer? We just told the listeners it's not beer, not cider.
Well, I know, but that's never been the case, is it? Because we had it last week. It was cider, and last week so.
It's wait, hold on. Ah, wait, this will be a hoppy beer with some sort of apple connotation.
Okay, well, tell me what you think of it.
It's hard to judge it because I wasn't expecting beer.
Okay, well, now you know it's beer. What do you think of it as a beer?
All right, let me try it properly. Now I need to pour it at the right angle.
Yeah, I forget you have to pour beer differently to cider. Not being a beer drinker myself. Just unwrapping it here. Apologies for the noise.
It's more like a fizzy ale. It's weird.
Is it something you...
I don't like it that much, to be honest.
Oh, dear. Okay, so what you're drinking here. This was made by friend of the show, Graham Rose.
Oh, dear.
And this is his homebrew that he calls Hoppy Birthday Harris after his son. Version 2.0. That he brewed last year from the Rose Brewery. I like the bottle design. It's Harris as Thomas the Tank Engine.
That's his son.
That's what
so
we're
it's
drinking.
It's pure beer.
It's beer. I should have really asked him more about it, really, so I could tell you a bit more about what it actually is as far as beer. But as someone that doesn't drink much beer, I quite like it.
I actually get that quite accurate.
Well, it's clearly beer. You said it was beer.
I said a hoppy beer with a cider out.
Oh, actually, hoppy beer. Oh, sorry, yes, of course, it's a hoppy beer. Yeah, you were right.
Yeah, I was pretty much bang on.
You were right. Yeah, well done.
And maybe being a bit harsh. Sorry, Caspar. It's quite nice. It's just, it's hard to drink and judge it after you've had six ciders in quick succession. So.
I mean...
Apologies.
That tastes like a beer that I'd have in a pub.
Yeah. So
not that I drink beer in a pub.
I'm assuming he's not going to commercialise this batch, though.
Tastes good stuff, actually.
It is quite nice. It's just, I don't think, I rarely go from cider to beer. But yeah, congratulations.
No, he provided this bottle for us to potentially sample on the show. So we are grateful for that. I wonder if he's made a version 2.1 or version 3 since then.
Yeah, thank you very much. Feel free to send us free stuff, listeners. We'll try and... wiggle it into one of our features.
It's impressive. It actually tastes like a beer.
Even if it doesn't strictly qualify.
Yeah, but... Yeah. It's always been a loose definition.
So, do we have any correspondence?
Well, as a surprise, because we haven't been on air. Yeah. We haven't had an episode out for the last...
Takes two to tango with correspondence,
nine and a half months. There's not much has been coming in. A few suggestions on our cider map. People are still using our cider map and
who are they?
And keeping us updated with any changes.
Are we updating the cider map?
Only when people report any changes on our website, yeah. ciderview.com. But it is a bit out of date, to be honest.
There's over 100 pubs on that cider map. Probably more than that. That probably undersells it slightly. So it's quite hard for you to keep that up to date.
It's a bit out of date. I mean, it's more ideally to highlight the top places in Edinburgh for finding good cider. And it still roughly does that. Yes. But equally, if you're in any pub in Edinburgh and you can find out what cider they've got.
I think we should maybe point out, anyone that is using the cider map, if you see a pub that you think is badly recommended, that's worth mentioning more than a specific change of cider.
Yeah. Yeah.
For example, we have highly recommended, and then just this is what ciders they have.
Exactly.
So if you believe that the star quality is underrated, then we should...
So it may be that since we've been there, they've stopped selling real cider.
Exactly.
In which case, we want to know about it, and we want to demote it on the map.
And vice versa.
Yes, and vice versa. Exactly. I mean, I think it's hard to come across any new pubs in Edinburgh that don't have real cider on these days. But
all right.
Fingers crossed, and hoping for another Jolly Judge Cider Festival at some point.
Yes, oh, I think there's one soon.
Yes, there is. This week, I think. Is that right?
Yes, we'll go. So, but in the meantime, we'll let you go, listeners, and we'll see you at some point in the next 5 years for episode 34. But thank you, IT. Say goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Until next time.